There is no better feeling in fantasy football than drafting a running back late in your drafts. And it becomes a full-time starter for you in your lineup. Yes, around week five, week six, he ranks as a top 20 running back in our rankings here on this channel. Plug and play for you the rest of the season. Hayden, let's name six of those potential names this year. Anything you want to say about sleepers in general at the running back spot?
There's kind of like two different versions of it. There's kind of the committee back that I think has a chance to be like a flex RB2. That's, you're just going to get a positive win. You're not going to win your league because of these guys, but they're valuable. I have one name here at the very top. And then the second one is, of the pure handcuffs, I want this guy to be automatically in my starting lineup, at least as the flex, hopefully as a fringe RB1 on my team if something happens to the starters. Interesting enough, I think this year, the clear backups to like the top 15 fantasy running backs, there's not that many clear-cut ones. Agreed. We're going to identify a couple of the ones that I know the second the starter goes down, this guy's going to be at the top of our thumbnail list.
Yeah, we've always suggested that we would do a running list of the best running back handcuffs in the NFL for fantasy football for the entire summer and for the entire season. Let us know in the comments down below if you actually want us to do that. Leave a thumbs up while you're down there too. All right, let's kick things off. Six names. These have to be either on Underdog or in your home leagues like Yahoo after the start of end of round 10, I should say, 120 plus ADP. So Hayden, kick us off with the first name. Who is it?
This is Chris Rodriguez. This is definitely more of the committee backfield where I think he's got a chance to be a flex starter. He has a history with Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen, by the way, has been excellent for fantasy running backs every single time he's been calling plays in the NFL. Back at Kentucky, he had 1,400 yards, 12 total touchdowns. As the bell cow back, Liam Cohen describes Chris Rodriguez as a thumper, just picks up the hard yards. And that's exactly the type of running back that they did not have on the team this last season. They gave him more money than we were also expecting when we just saw Chris Rodriguez to the Jaguars. Like, wow, okay, he's actually going to be part of the game plan here. It's him versus Bashiel Tutin. I think Tutin's definitely more explosive, no doubt about that. I think Chris Rodriguez is probably more trusted right now. LaQuint Allen's going to have his role. Who's going to get the goal line touches? I think that's going to be Chris Rodriguez. He's 5'11", 224. Tutin's 5'9", 209. We're not going to get a bunch of receptions out of Chris Rodriguez. That's totally fine. Travis Etienne, just on carries, was the RB10 in expected half PPR points last year. If we can get like 80% of that, Chris Rodriguez is going to be A-OK. There's definitely a cap ceiling here. But for somebody that could be like the fourth running back that you draft in your team, and when bye weeks come around, he's in your starting lineup, I'm okay with that.
He goes in the 11th round over an Underdog, 14th round over on Yahoo. Just to lay the land here, he had a procedure on his left foot following an injury sustained early in offseason conditioning program. So we haven't seen him at all in these OTA activities, but he is expected, according to Liam Cohen, to be a full go at training camp. Zane, who has been doing an incredible job aggregating news lately on Twitter, posted an interesting thought on Rodriguez versus Bashiel Tutin. Is it just, you know, the 2026 version of Zach Moss versus Chase Brown, which like early season, C-Rod gets the majority of the work. They've kind of been rehearsing Bashiel Tutin, i.e. Chase Brown, all summer for a much larger role, both in passing situations and in a running room. And at some point in the season, it flips either due to injury or just outperformance. And once it does, there's no looking back. That really caught my attention and hit me deep when thinking about this back.
Sure. Yeah, I think the flip side would be like the total upside case would like Chris Rodriguez could have like a Javonte Williams type of range of outcomes. I think that's really low end, but like this is the type of guy that I think could handle a bunch of the goal line carries and then churn yardage. EPA per carry on five or fewer yards to go, so like more of the short yardage stuff. Chris Rodriguez was one of the best in the NFL this last season. Tutin and Travis Etienne did not do nearly as well. And then also in the red zone, it was plus 0.2 EPA per carry for Chris Rodriguez. And then Tutin and Travis Etienne were like basically at flat zero there. So I just think in general, it wouldn't be a surprise if Tutin gets the fancy stuff, LaQuint Allen's there in pass protection, and then Chris Rodriguez in the 4-minute drill at the goal line. You get your 9.5 PPR points and you exit out of there happy.
Yeah, the other part of this is, you know, we have LaQuint Allen in the ballgame in pure 4-minute, 2-minute, third and fourth and long situations as well. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that the Jaguars need to see more from Bashiel Tutin to give him a true running back one workload. They obviously have seen more of Bashiel Tutin this offseason. I also believe Tutin needs to outright fail in order for Chris Rodriguez to be a big winner this year, whether that's in a game or, you know, this entire offseason. And, you know, that is in the range of outcomes. I am drafting just a lot more Bashal Tutin. He is still climbing than I have so far of Chris Rodriguez, just because of like the home run swing aspect of this. But I think this goes into the package of the two, albeit they are different runners, where Liam Cohen and James Gladstone really care about rush yards over expected. They really care about running backs creating yards on their own. And both these guys in their underlying metrics have that in their back pocket.
The names in the show will get sexier than Chris Rodriguez, I promise.
You're well, <up. laughs> let's see if people agree. My name is Bill Kroski Merritt. All right. I'm intrigued by the post-hype sleeper that is Bill. In fact, he's going later in your drafts this year than he was last year. The Commanders, just overall as a team, are projected for the same number of points scored as the Indianapolis Colts, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Houston Texans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We can compare and contrast each of those rosters, but just looking at it from a Washington perspective, they only have one wide receiver. Like, that's it. You have one proven wide receiver on the roster. Then your tight ends are a question. Your running back room is a question. Your wide receiver two is a question as of right now. Every other player outside of Terry McLaurin, and obviously the quarterback in Jaden Daniels, is going incredibly late in drafts. So I can't shake the idea that one of these Commanders running backs is going to end up as a massive value at the end of the season. So the question is, which one is it? Maybe it's Rashad White, and he's going to be the flavor for a bunch of people out there because he's one of the best passing down players in the league, pass protector, receiver. We know how excellent he is in those situations. He has been inefficient as a runner so far in his career. It's actually declined as he's gone along. But his pathway to touches is the clearest of the group. Or is it Bill, who led this backfield in touches last year, yards from scrimmage, and touchdowns as a seventh round rookie, and now is a year under his belt? You know, also didn't play football the year before that. So maybe he has, you know, his football legs underneath him. And I actually saw quite a few snaps and quite a few games last year where I loved his long strides, love his ability to create some explosive plays and get to the edge on top of that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bill is a really nice fit in this new offense that David Blau is going to instill here in Washington.
Yeah, I think a pretty similar case to the Chris Rodriguez one. I think his path to being like the clear starter is just a little bit easier because Rashad White's playing on like a 1 year, $2 million, nothing contract. Rashad White's probably going to be the week one starter, but I do see the pathway for Bill just looking better as a rusher. I thought that his long speed was pretty decent. I saw his patience finding the right hole. That was the thing that kind of stood out with him when I was going back and watching him back in 2024, when Jaden Daniels was actually really good and on the football field. Brian Robinson was the RB28. Austin Eckler was the RB32. So like that's the pathway where both Rashad White more as a receiving guy and Bill Kroski Merritt as the early down guy could both be flex viable. And obviously if one goes out of the way, then this thing can completely consolidate. The RB3, Catron Allen, we have a full video on our channel about him. He's like, if we were going to go really deep, 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 deep sleepers, he would be on my list there. Just kind of keep an eye out on him. This backfield has like zero investment in it. So it's like anything could happen here. So I do like taking shots on it.
Yeah, you're seeing that both Chris Rodriguez and Bill Kroski Merritt, who were teammates last year, have been dropping in ADP quite a bit. And Chris Rodriguez is still in the negative decline here, down from running back 36 to running back 42. Bill is now running back 40, where he started as running back 37. In fact, he's actually going later on Underdog than he is in your home leagues, like on Yahoo, wow, which we rarely say about any of these players. One more note here. And Josh Connerly, the second year right tackle for the Commanders, brought this up. He said that they were good on outside zone runs last year. They just didn't run it enough, which kind of goes back to the point that you made about patience and finding the right lane and cutting up field on it, but that they will this season. And this is true. Like if you look at Fantasy Points' metrics out there, said that the Commanders were best in the NFL in outside zone at 6.1 yards per carry. And Bill Kroski Merritt actually led the NFL in yards per carry in outside zone at 7.6. Wow. And yes, he only had 9 catches last year. That's going to go again to Rashad White. He had 4 fumbles. You can't have that. You need to be a bit more trustworthy. And that's why, you know, for rookies, his attempts and opportunities seem to decline as the year went along versus the opposite, which we love. But at the same time, again, let's just hope he gets a bit more comfortable and taking more contact than he has, you know, during his final year of college, which was non-existent. So this might be an absolute zero, but I also, once again, this is one of those backfields, and we'll talk about another one here in a minute, are going so freaking late in drafts. And this is, at the very least, an average offense, potentially, that Bill is the one that has caught my eye the most, whereas a lot of other people want to draft Rashad White. And it kind of depends on your platform, if it's PPR versus half.
Yeah, I think definitely so. I do think Rashad White's very interesting. Ka'Tron Allen, really interesting for like dynasty stuff. Yeah, someone's going to emerge here and be in your starting lineup in fantasy, and nobody knows exactly who it's going to be. I'm not sure if we're going to get like a confirmed answer in training camp either. I think there's going to be a rotation here, and I think that most likely it'll be Rashad White highest in my week one rankings. By week four, you never know what's going to happen here.
The Bill hype went a bit crazy during training camp last year, kind of became one of those main players. But then like there were moments where I was like, the talent's there. And he's actually now not getting nearly enough love as he did back in August and September. So he was a weird player to track just in our fantasy football bubble last season. All right. Two down, four to go. Who's next for you?
Tank Bigsby, also somebody that was getting a bunch of buzz last training camp and then didn't do a whole lot. But if you go back and review the tape, you're like, hey, there's actually something to this. Last year, Tank Bigsby, after being traded in week two, by the way, that was fifth and sixth round picks to the Eagles from the Eagles there. Bigsby was the RB1 overall in EPA per carry, RB2 in yards per carry, and RB6 in success rate among 60 qualifying running backs last year. For what it's worth, those were all better than Saquon Barkley. Obviously, this is just about handcuff potential, but if you look at all the top 15 fantasy running backs, all the ones that are drafted in the first, second, third round, there's so many of them where we just don't know who the RB2 is going to be. I can tell you guys, it's going to be Tank Bigsby if Saquon Barkley misses time right now. So I think there's a pretty defined role. We know that the Eagles want to run the football. I'm not sure if Jalen Hurts is going to be tush pushing quite as much as he was previously, but Tank Bigsby's got some juice tied with having the size. It would be Will Shipley, who's like about my size out there as a pass catcher. And I do think that Tank Bigsby would have a version of the Saquon Barkley role. That's a valuable role to have here. I think that he would go immediately into like the top 15 fantasy running back conversation if Saquon Barkley misses time. Who's most likely to miss time? The running backs that get the ball 20 plus times like Saquon Barkley.
In a couple weeks, we'll basically re-rank what we believe in how the first round should be selected. I'm going to have Saquon Barkley higher than ADP. And I'm drafting a lot of Saquon Barkley when I can. If I miss out on Saquon Barkley, I want to draft Tank Bigsby because I believe this is the key to everything for Philadelphia this year. So many words are written about Sean Mannion and how he's going to fix the passing attack. You know what fixes that? Is a really freaking good rushing game. And that alters coverage and how defenses play you. It's really that simple. That was the difference between 2024 and 2025 for this Eagles offense. Okay, let's go through this real quick because, you know, running back twos aren't necessarily handcuffs, right? Like the Ramondres, the Kamenung guys, Blake Corums, Ricos, J.K. Dobbins, like these are all split backfields. I would not call those handcuffs. But then we get down to, I mean, where is it? Isaiah Pacheco is the first true handcuff off the board. And then, you know, it's Tajay Spears, Zach Charbonnet, Tyler Algier. And so technically, Tank Bigsby is the fifth handcuff off the board. He should be higher than that. Like there's a legit chance and case for him to be the number one handcuff in fantasy football this season.
I'm not convinced that Pacheco is really good. I'm not saying that Tank Bigsby is good, but at least there's some evidence that Tank Bigsby might be pretty good. So I think that, you know, just betting on the Eagles offense versus, you know, like Algier with the Cardinals. Now, maybe some people are thinking like Algier might have a role. I wish you guys the best. Pure backup situations, I would rather have the Eagles running back than the Cardinals running back. And a lot of the other names, pretty similar situations, like your Mike Washingtons, those types out there. Those are bad football teams that you're going to be signing up for. And then, like, we don't know exactly Devon Achane's backup, Kenneth Walker's backup, Chase Brown's backup, Christian McCaffrey's backup, Jonathan Taylor's backup. Like, it's just one of those years where, like, the handcuffs behind the elite running backs aren't very good. So the ones that we feel pretty good about, we should have them. It's like, to me, like grab a Bill, Chris Rodriguez, your RB4, and then Tank Bigsby as your RB5. And then like you kind of play both sides of the sleeper profile. And like, that's how you round out your fantasy lineup.
And this is more of a best ball conversation than it is redraft. Obviously Tank, we don't believe Tank Bigsby is going to have, you know, standalone value on a weekly basis. He's going to burn a hole in your bench in a lot of your home leagues. So just think of this more as a best ball dynamic. Yeah, I mean, as you outlined, 13 explosive runs on 69 carries last year. Saquon had 30 explosive runs on 314. That's also a Tank not playing in the first six games. Now, when you watch his explosive plays, there was a whole lot of Tanner McKee on the field. So we know what it was like in those certain moments of those games. But yeah, I mean, I think Tank Bigsby, just the way he pulls away and gets to the corner in his big frame, like it's an explosive play waiting to happen. I really, really still like him. And I think it's very clear that the Eagles like him a lot too. Okay. I'm going to go with another one of these running back twos that are drafted and bring up Jonathan Brooks here. He's in the 11th round over on Yahoo. Obviously, it's much earlier in the 9th round on Underdog, so he wouldn't qualify if we only did that here for this episode. Obviously, this is all reliant on his knee. Tore his ACL twice. That's a big deal, and I don't want that to, you know, get swept under the rug when we're having the rest of this conversation. And I'm sure that the Panthers are still tentative about it. You have to be when it's two significant knee injuries. But they are clearly relying on him based on their offseason. I mean, they go from Rico Dowdle last year, who finishes the overall running back 1, 1, and 2 in three separate weeks, to not filling that void with any investment this offseason other than AJ Dillon. And I'll let you make that argument if you want to call AJ Dillon that. We know Jonathan Brooks has more talent than all the other running backs drafted around him in fantasy football. Like, he can catch passes. He has the lateral shiftiness to make people miss. He finishes through contact. He has a size that we covet at the position. So I don't think that this is too different from the bet that we made with Rico Dowdle last summer, and that paid off in a massive way. So I understand the concerns. I also want to play to win, and I want to draft for upside. And for me, among these running backs that are drafted after Jonathan Brooks, I think you can make the case that Brooks has the highest upside and like league winning potential. Yep. If he outright claims his backfield at some point this season.
Yeah, I almost have like no notes to add on to that. The only thing I saw was like so far he hasn't reached his top speed, but they're like playing this the slow game. He's got to prove it through training camp, and you don't win football games in June. So they're taking the smart approach here, and I hope he works out, because he was a really intriguing bell cow type of profile in the early second round. I don't think that Chuba Hubbard's going to completely go away. So that's like the one thing that's kind of in the back of my mind as Jonathan Brooks. I think the hype could get out of control here in a second, but there's a reason why he's priced ahead of a lot of the other RB2s. And like, I think that is right. Like, I'm okay with the price tag. I'd be a little bit nervous if this thing all of a sudden got into like the 80s and 90s. But if he's healthy, I think that it will be more of a toss up of who's actually going to be the starter once we get into like Halloween and Thanksgiving. So I'm really hoping that he works out, because he'd be really fun with Bryce Young, a little outlet. And Chuba Hubbard, I think, is a fine enough back, but he's not going to prevent Jonathan Brooks if Jonathan Brooks is back to that like early second round profile.
Yeah, he has drastically climbed during the offseason, up about 21 spots, 6 spots purely at the running back position. I mean, again, there's a chance that Brooks ends the season as the Panthers' most talented back. And if upside wins championships, I think this is one that is worth taking. Again, this only has to be in your home league, but closing out your running back room with someone like Jonathan Brooks is, I think, just a right way of drafting. If it doesn't work out, if in the first 4 or 5 weeks, it's, you know, 65-35 between he and Chuba Hubbard, then sure, you can drop him. But there is going to be an opportunity, I feel like, at least one game this season, that Jonathan Brooks is the leading rusher for this team and has the lion's share of the work. And then we go from there and we see what happens. Just a really fun play. I mean, just to reset the timeline for people, he tore his ACL during the latter parts of his final year at Texas, then didn't play until week 12 of his rookie season, played 3 games, tore it in that third, and then didn't play all of last year. So there's very little we have to go on since that first ACL tear, even if he had some really nice flashes in that Tampa Bay Buccaneers game where he returned. But I want to believe and have some fun. And Jalen Brooks is really fun.
Speaking of that, injuries, wanting to have fun, can't prove it. Marshawn Lloyd is my next name here. Okay. It's the same exact thing. Instead of ACLs, it's hamstrings. But just like Jonathan Brooks, right now, if you're at the practice fields, Marshawn Lloyd is on it, and he's looking pretty good. That's all you can ask for. He's doing everything he can to fix these hamstring injuries. He's seen doctors. He did like full imaging on his body. He learned that he's a little bit tight in the ankles and the hips. Same here. And that's going to lead to soft tissue injuries. And he's really worked on that. And he's like, has all the medical advancements, and he seems to be taking it very seriously. And right now he's been like the RB1 or RB2 in drills, depending on if Josh Jacobs is in court or if he's on the practice field. Right now, the Josh Jacobs situation is that the district attorney's office is still investigating if they want to bring charges on. Right now, Josh Jacobs is fine to be out there for now, but at any point, new evidence can come out, and then the commissioner's exempt list could be waiting for Josh Jacobs. Like the upside for like how long the Josh Jacobs suspension or commissioner's exempt list is like typically around 6 games for domestic violence related issues. So I think just that alone makes Marshawn Lloyd more interesting than other backs, just because there's some odds that he's going to be a starter, not because of injury, but because of off-field issues. And I don't think that Chris Brooks is a like real running back. He's like an RB3 kind of hybrid player. They want Marshawn Lloyd to be the RB2, and Josh Jacobs a little bit older. He fights really hard as well. He can take a big hit and miss some time here. So Marshawn Lloyd's being priced as if he's not going to play this year. His injury risk is a little bit higher than other players, but he's healthy today. So I don't think that is like real injury risk moving forward is like that much higher than any other back.
Yeah, Chris Brooks is more of like a fullback hybrid player for them, was a lead blocker for Josh Jacobs a lot of last season. And maybe they would pivot over in that direction. But like Emmanuel Wilson was more of their secondary rusher over the past couple of seasons. This Marshawn Lloyd ADP chart just shows you how like news can impact things. Like he climbs when they didn't draft anyone or add anyone in the second wave of free agency. Then OTAs hit, and I believe he wasn't out there for like the vast majority of OTAs, and then did return like the final practice or close to it. And then it shows you that like, hey, we can steadily go back up after that. I read the same exact thing that you did, where you went to California, Dr. John Mayer.
Yep.
Shout out John Mayer. Found that he was overcompensating at his ankle and hip due to the torn ACL back in 2020. And then he had less quad strength because of it. Look, I mean, it wasn't these exact same extremities, but Christian Watson went through this somewhat similar process to figure out, hey, why am I getting all of these injuries? And then we saw that like totally fix itself this past season and how he emerged as a player. So I did not love Marshawn Lloyd as a talent out of USC. I know a lot of people did, even South Carolina on top of that too. But if you're a believer, like this is the pathway, the clearest one, for him to like be the number two runner.
I will say Marshawn Lloyd caught a bunch of passes in college and has the size to handle the rock. So we can argue about how talented he actually is and his vision and trustworthiness, fully understand that. But for fantasy, gobbling up touches, like he can catch the ball and he has the size for the goal line role. So like I'm kind of rounding up to the high side there. He was a third round pick for the Packers, 88th overall. We've been very excited about third round fantasy running backs going into year three. So hopefully he just stays on the football field. But I do think if we're talking about this on Labor Day and he's still out there, I think that he should go right next to Tank Bigsby and those guys is like one of the best handcuffs in fantasy.
Let's close with Jordan Mason. 11th round over an underdog, 13th round on Yahoo. He is being selected 6 picks, 8 picks after his running mate in Aaron Jones. We recently talked about this backfield because it's the cheapest one in drafts. Like no starting running back goes later in your drafts than Aaron Jones or Jordan Mason. I think we have a sizable update on that conversation though. This is from Matthew Collar. Quote, Jordan Mason is going to be the Vikings running back one. Aaron Jones already showed signs of slowing down last season, so the Vikings will be careful to limit his touches this season. Collar went through more and more of this, saying obviously the bulk of the passing situations will go to Aaron Jones, maybe even your boy Xavier Scott, who is a former wide receiver on top of that. But Jordan Mason, the early down work, he is going to be the grinder of this group. And there's like such a different, you know, dynamic and environment of being the early down non-pass catching back on an offense that finishes with the 26th most points like they did last year. And then an offense that scores, you know, top 10 in points, which by the way, Kevin O'Connell has done in the 2 healthy seasons that he's had a healthy quarterback. So that is a pathway for here. Like Aaron Jones fell off a cliff last year on 150 touches. His, you know, underlying metrics were extremely poor. Meanwhile, Jordan Mason's still average, you know, the 12th most yards per carry, the 10th most yards after contact per rush. And I see like there's a possibility where we get like 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns out of Jordan Mason just for being this style of a runner on an offense that people are just underrating heading into the season.
There's four games without Aaron Jones last year, weeks 3 through 7. The Vikings offense was like not cooking during that stretch. He was the RB 16 on RB 24 usage in half PPR. I like him definitely in that format more than in full PPR, but I ranked him ahead of Aaron Jones before this report. I'm like going to completely double down on that. I think this is like the easiest pathway of like new era Vikings. Aaron Jones, you're in the Alvin Kamara role now, and we're taking chances on a cheap running back in Jordan Mason. I think that Jordan Mason runs really hard. I think he's kind of, yes, he's definitely limited in some ways, but could he be the goal line back? And like you said, just like kind of goal line plunge into 8 touchdowns this year, that would be enough for him to be a flex play in half PPR. So I view him like that in fantasy, kind of in that Chris Rodriguez, Bill Kroski merit bucket for me.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's a cap ceiling just because he doesn't catch passes. I think he's only caught like 9 during his NFL career so far, or something crazy like that. But whenever you look at the underlying numbers, he is already always one of like the most effective runners out there. Yep. And then the Vikings are apparently leaning more and more into outside zone, which will play into Jordan Mason's strengths on top of this. The other part of this is the Vikings offensive line pairing, like the one that was most commonly out there, only played together for 25% of snaps last season. So if we get some really nice injury luck with Christian Darrisaw and like their late round centers that they're now going to play at that spot, obviously second year among the interior players for like Will Fries in the system and their left guard. Like if we just get a group that plays there for 70% of snaps, not only is the offense going to get better and score more points, but the running game on top of this is going to score more points too.
You have to squint because of those injuries and like young players, but like the Vikings offensive line like could legitimately be very, very good. Like we got a first rounder, a young first rounder too involved. So yeah, I think there's a pathway here. This could be like, you know, the Jamal Williams season from many years ago where Jordan Mason is just gobbling up a bunch of goal line touchdowns. 100%. And that would be a lot of fun. I guess like you can possibly squint that he can be like a Javonte Williams type of outcome here. I think that'd be at the very high end of this, but I'm kind of over the Aaron Jones experiment. He was one of the fades for me, and I felt pretty good after writing him up.
I really think we have seen the cliff for Aaron Jones, and I think the team knows that based on him coming back on a much smaller contract than the one that he played on previously. Yeah, I mean, KOC wants to throw when they get to the red zone. Like this just seems like something that they've been very effective with. We've also seen Kyler Murray struggle throwing in the red zone, so maybe they lean a bit more than he has in the past into the running game. I know many of you, and by the way, leave your favorite late round running back sleepers. They have to be into the 10th round, 120 plus in ADP on some platform out there in the comments down below. I think a lot of people are going to say Keaton Mitchell, Hayden. We'll talk about this again in a couple of weeks when I'm back from vacation. The more the summer goes on, the more I really want to draft Damarrion Hampton, even if like I don't absolutely love everything about his profile and individual talent. I just think he's going to be given such a long runway that he literally has to fall on his face or get injured for this not to happen.
Yeah. I mean, they drafted him in the first round. They're definitely rooting for Amarian Hampton to be really good.
It's, I think, such an awesome system.
Great system for him. Keaton Mitchell, also great system for him. And obviously the big quote was that Mike McDaniel hung wanted posters around the GM's office wanting Keaton Mitchell and then the fullback that they signed as well. I think there's a reason for that. I think the hard part with Keaton Mitchell is, let's say Hampton misses, you know, half the season. Like, is it actually going to be Keaton Mitchell getting 15 touches, or is it going to be like still like, you know, 10 to 12 and here comes Kamani Vidal? So I think that like Keaton Mitchell's, I think, better in best ball because it's going to be impossible to predict when he's going to have his 50-yard touchdown. I'll give you guys 5 of them this year, but I'm on the other games, I just don't see that it's gonna be very hard to predict. So I actually like him a lot more in the best ball format than in redraft because it just feels like it's gonna be very complicated to like nail when he's actually gonna hit a home run.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, a handful of years ago when the Dolphins had the number 2 scoring offense in the NFL, we got 2 top 5 scoring seasons out of Keaton Mitchell and Raheem Mostert, and also the number 1 scoring wide receiver in Tyreek Hill on top of it. So hey, now you go from Tua doing that to now Justin Herbert doing that. So that's always a potential outcome here too, Hayden.
Yeah, I think Keaton Mitchell we should count him as one of our sleepers here. Let's round up. Keaton Mitchell definitely qualifies. He should be drafted in every format just because we have to see what happens in week 1. There's going to be a lot of optimism coming out of training camp because, you know, the Chargers coaching staff loves to speak and hype up their players. So we're going to see a lot of positive buzz. This ADP is only going to get higher. I'm not even hating on it at all. I just think that he's one of the best, like kind of like this middle ground between. He's not a pure handcuff because I think Vidal is going to play, but I do think he actually has a chance to like having some flex appeal. It's just going to be impossible to know like when that flex appeal is going to like show itself. That's why I like him in best ball.
Yeah, I guess my opening remark about Amari and Hampton is I want to be optimistic about both these players. Like I don't want to really say anything negative about either, just because again, the environment that they're in is just going to lend itself to fantasy points. And when we get to these conversations over summers, it's, well, you can only pick one side of Amari and Hampton or Keaton Mitchell. Whereas I kind of really like where both of them are being selected right now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Justin Herbert with McDaniel. This could be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. All right. That's going to do it. Leave your favorites in the comments down below. Thanks for watching. We also have done videos like this on our favorite sleepers with wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends. Every single one is worth a watch, and this channel is worth a watch. So hit subscribe before you leave. A thumbs up, a like would be incredible. We'd love to get 1,000 of those here on this video. We'll check in the next video. See ya.